Thank you, Brother Steve, for that kind introduction. Good morning, all. It's nice to be here this morning to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk about the good things of God, to talk about where we're going and how we're going to get there and what's it going to be like when we're there. My sermon this morning is based on a old married folks conversation that my wife and I had last week. And you that's been married a long time, you recognize these conversations. I said, "Honey, do you re-?" She says, "Sure do. I remember everything." And I said, "I do too." And you know, we never complete a thought. Never complete a thought. We just know instinctively what the other one's going to say. But anyway, in the course of this conversation we had, we were talking about the flood that just happened down in Kansas City, which took some lives. And it brought to mind a story. And this story has a very good moral. And it has to do with my sermon this morning. And it has to do about this man whose house was flooding. And the water was coming up, and it was in the basement, and he seen it coming up the steps, and it got into his living room, so he went to the second floor. And it kept getting deeper and deeper, and on the second floor he decided to climb out on the roof. And before he did, he said, "I'm going to pray to my Heavenly Father, and my Heavenly Father is going to rescue me." And he did. He prayed mightily to his Heavenly Father to rescue him. And he climbed up on a roof, confident that God would rescue him. And pretty soon, a boat went by. And they hollered at him and they said, "Hey, we'll come up there and get you down." He says, "Don't bother, the Lord's going to save me." And they went on their way. And pretty soon a helicopter come by and let down the rope and said, "Grab hold of the rope." He said, "Never mind. The Lord's going to save me." The water kept getting deeper and pretty soon he was swept away and he drowned. And he went and stood before God. And he was mad. And he said, "God, I prayed to you and you told me you was going to save me." God said, "I sent a boat and I sent a helicopter. What more can I do?" We limit our Heavenly Father. We limit the way He interacts with you and I. God promises us all kinds of help. He promises all kinds of interventions in our lives. But we have a tendency, brothers and sisters, when we pray, we also pray for the way we want the answer to come. And when it doesn't come exactly that way, we don't accept it. It's not of God. Because it wasn't the way we had it pictured to be. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, Christ is telling his disciples that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the moral of this isn't about the rich man or the poor man. He then talks about it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, here's the moral. The disciples asked then, "Who can be saved?" You know, who can be saved then? And Jesus said in the 26th verse, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Yes, all things are possible with God as long as we don't try to limit Him in His answers to us. We, in our human ways, limit the power of God. We limit the things that He can do for you and I by putting a lid upon His power. Now I know that we realize that He has power because we look out here and we know that He created earth. He created heaven. He created the stars and the moon. He even created you and I. So we know He has the power. But yet we limit that power. I think here I'd like to read a little something that I picked up. And it doesn't exactly have to do with this sermon, but it's a cute little story. And it has a few of the things I'm going to talk about. And it's called Explain God. And it was written by an 8-year-old. Now just think back to when, I know it's hard for some of us older ones to think back that far, but think back to when you was 8 years old, and you can probably appreciate some of the things that this person says here. It's written by Danny Dutton, age 8. Says, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so there will be enough people to take care of things here on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they are smaller and easier to make. That way, He doesn't have to take up His valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can just leave them to the mothers and fathers to take care of. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like preachers and things, pray at times besides bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV on account of this. Since He hears everything, not only prayers, there must be a terrible lot of noise in His ears, unless He has some way to turn them off. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps Him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting His time by going over your parents' head asking for something they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. I don't think there are any in Chula Vista. At least there ain't any in our church. Jesus is God's Son, He says. He used to do all the hard work like walking on water and performing miracles and trying to teach people who didn't want to learn about God. They finally got tired of Him preaching to them and they crucified Him. But He was good and kind like His Father, and He told His Father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them, and God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that He had done and all His hard work on earth. So He told him, this is for you, Bob. His dad told him that he didn't have to go on the road anymore. He could just stay in heaven. So he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing things which are important to God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Like a secretary, only more important, of course. You can pray anytime you want, and they are sure to hear you because it got worked out, so one of them is on duty at all times. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. That is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you will be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like to camp, but God can. It is good to know He's around, or when you're scared in the dark, or when you can't swim very good, and you get thrown into real deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here, and He can take me back anytime He pleases. And he goes on to say, that's why I believe in God. The point is, this little 8-year-old, he didn't limit God. He didn't limit His power. He didn't limit His might. But when we get older, when we get wiser, when we get more intelligence, when we have more schooling, all of those factors tend to filter out God's power. You go back to the old days, and you think about Noah. And you think about God coming to him and saying, Noah, I'm going to have it rain on the earth. I'm going to have it flood. And it's going to be covered by water. But I want you to build a boat. I want you to build an ark so that we can take all of the animals into it and we can save flesh. And probably like the joke I heard on TV once, Noah says, what's an ark? But he did. He built that ark. He built that boat. Because he did not limit God's power. Even though that job looked big, even though that job looked tremendous, even though he could not see how he and his family could build that ark, he did not limit God's power. And so all things were possible with Noah. And this brings to mind the story of Nephi. When God told him to build a ship, he didn't have any tools. He didn't have any fire. He didn't even know how to go about building a ship. But Nephi did not limit God's power. He said, I'm willing. I have my strength. Just show me what to do. And God showed Nephi the way to build that ship, and he built that ship because he did not limit the power of God. Nephi, again, a little earlier, in the Book of Mormon studies, on page 10, and you can turn to page 10 with me if you will. God had told Nephi that they needed to get the records from Laban. And they failed the first time they went to Laban because they tried to buy the records from him. And Nephi's brothers were ready to give up. They were ready to quit. Because Laban was mighty and Laban was strong and he commanded many. But Nephi did not limit the power of God. and they were successful in getting the records. And I'd like to read about that on page 10, starting with verse 97. And again, and after the angel had departed, Laman and Lemuel again began to murmur, saying, "How is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands?" They were limiting God. You know, they didn't understand how this mighty man could be delivered into the hands of three brothers. They couldn't understand that. It just did not comprehend up here. And it didn't comprehend because even though they were taught by their father about the power of God, they in their own minds limited that power. Behold, he is a mighty man. And he can command 50. Yea, even he can slay 50. Then why not us? Fear was creeping in. They didn't want to die just to get a bunch of old records. They wanted to live. And they let that filter out the power of God. And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, "Let us go up again unto Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth." Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, or even than his tens of thousands? Nephi was not bound by that human concept that limits God. You know, he's seen a mighty God. He's seen a God that was all powerful. He's seen a God that was strong. He's seen a God that can overcome any obstacle. And this is the way, brothers and sisters, that you and I need to look at God. All powerful. Able to overcome any obstacle that is thrown in our path. A God who is able to give us, if it is good, anything in this world. If it is good. Therefore, let us go up, he says. Let us be strong like unto Moses, for he truly spake unto the waters of the Red Sea, and they divided hither and thither. And our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground, and the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Moses didn't limit the power of God. How many of us, be honest with ourselves, how many of us this morning feels in their heart that they could divide the Red Sea? How many of us feel that they could divide this little puddle of water out here by the side of the church? We, brothers and sisters, are limiting the power of our God if we doubt in our minds that we could divide the Red Sea through Christ our Lord, through the power of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts, the third chapter. Starting with the first verse. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour for prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter and John, fastening their eyes upon him, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter and John did not limit the power of God. They knew the power of God resided in them. And they knew that they could affect this miracle. They knew that they could raise this lame man up and he would walk. Do we, brothers and sisters, have that same faith today? Do we have that same belief, or do we limit the power of God? I submit to you that we limit the power of God. I submit to you that we are below our stature in this life because we limit the power of our Heavenly Father. And I don't believe that we do it consciously. I believe it's all of our learning, all of our environment, all of our experiences work together to filter out the power of God from our lives. And I'm not saying that we don't have the power of God with us from time to time. What I'm saying is we fall far short of that which should be ours according to the promises given in Scripture. And when Peter saw this, he answered and said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk?" It's not anything that Peter and John did on their own. It's not any power that Peter and John had within them. Peter and John had no more power within them than you and I. But what they had was a faith that did not limit that power from on high. That power that has been promised in the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelation. In the Book of Mormon, it tells of a people who would not take up arms to defend themselves. And you remember who their people were. They were the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi. And this sounds like an impossible task. That here you have an enemy coming upon you. An enemy that is sworn to take your life. And you say, "I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to take up arms. I'm not going to fight. I'm going to meekly be killed." Impossible. But these men of Anti-Nephi-Lehi did not limit the power of God as we would. We would have a tendency to fight back. We would have a tendency maybe even to strike out first if we were threatened. I probably would. And in so doing, brothers and sisters, I limit the power of my God. Because in our prayers, we have prayed for His protection. We have prayed for His watch care. And yet I might carry my .38 if I go into a bad part of town. Am I limiting the power of God by doing this? Think about it. Are we, by our daily lives and the things we do, the decisions we make, the actions we take, limit the power of God? You know, God will let you, if you wish, take things into your own hands. He gives us our free agency. But He also, at the same time, promises us, if we put ourselves in His hands, that He will protect. Turn over to the Book of Mormon on page 405 on a little more on this. Starting with verse 31. And this is talking about these people that I was just talking about. And they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God. And part of this zeal was not limiting him. And also towards men, for they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ, even to the end. And they did look upon the shedding of blood of their brethren with the greatest abhorrence. And they never could be prevailed upon to take up arms against their brethren. And they never did look upon death with any degree of terror, for their hope and views of Christ and the resurrection, therefore death was swallowed up to them by the victory of Christ over it. They believed. They believed the power of God in the resurrection. They believed the power of God in overcoming death, in Him having the victory, in our opportunity for eternal life, in our opportunity to sit on the right hand of God and enjoy all the benefits therein. They believed in that. They didn't limit the power of God. They knew that He could do it. They knew that He would do it because they had been taught, they had read, and they had heard that this was true. There was a young man back in the early 1820s. And this young man's name was Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith did not deny the power of God. For when he was confused, when he wondered, when he contemplated about the church that he should join, and when God told him, pray about it. Pray about it. And not limiting the power of God, he went into the woods and got down on his knees and prayed mightily. And he received an answer. And the answer he received led eventually to the Book of Mormon, and led eventually to the establishment of the Church of Christ, because that uneducated man would not in any way limit the power of God. And that was the reason that he was able to be used by God. We say to ourselves many times, why can't we have Zion? Why can't we have Zion? And we come up with all kinds of reasons. And I submit to you that reason That number one reason is that we limit the power of God. If we, in our hearts, our minds, our souls, would tell God, we are ready for Zion, put it into place, He would give us every answer, every direction, every leading that you and I would need to put Zion in effect this very day. But you know, we limit the power of God. Brother and sister, it's up to us to put Zion into effect. It's up to us to do this. It's not up to us. It's up to the power of God. And we say, why isn't the temple built? Same reason. Same answer. Because we limit the power of God. Why don't we have more miracles? Same reason. Same answer. Why don't we hear tongues within our churches we have in times past? Because unfortunately, brothers and sisters, bottom line, is we limit God. We limit Him. For whatever reason. Turn to Matthew. Chapter 21 of Matthew. Starting with the 16th verse. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and there was not any fruit on it, but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw this, they marveled and said, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this to the fig tree, but also if ye say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. How many here, and don't show me your hands, believe that? Christ said it. It's true. But we, in our wisdom, limit God's power. And I'll tell you right now, we will not cast any mountains into the sea. In fact, we will not even wither a fig tree. Because we have convinced ourselves through our education, through our study, through our humanness, that's probably impossible. We limit God's power, brothers and sisters. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, in faith believing, ye shall receive. It's not impossible. It's not impossible if we that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And how many times, and I've done this, and I bet you have too. How many times when you kneel down to pray, there's that little doubt back here that God will answer. I have a personal story I'd like to tell you about this, and it's It's kind of to my shame, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I'm planning on retiring in February, and I've been praying a lot to God about this situation and asking for certain things, and Lord has just made things fall into place. Bang, 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 bang. You know, very, very good. But I've been praying for one thing that I thought that I really needed to retire. I've been praying for a buyout. You know, they've been giving buyouts to some people. I've been praying for a buyout. Well, last week I found out from one of the higher ups in the company that they'd like me to work till 90 if I would. You know, so the buyout is out. That's what they said. And so I'm coming home from work, say, and I'm driving my car, and I'm having a conversation with God. And I'm kind of a little bit bitter about it. I've been praying about this, and you've let everything else happen. And why can't I get the buyout, you know? Just a little bit bitter. And it come to me so clearly. He just told me so clearly. You know, I promise to take care of your needs, not necessarily your wants. Kind of a slap to me. Kind of puts you in your place, you know. Kind of puts things in perspective. I limited God's power. Of course He can take care of my needs. Of course He can watch over me. But that doesn't mean that all my wants and wishes are right. And all my wants and wishes are needed to accomplish the things that He has in mind for me. But you know, faith and prayer aren't the only things needed to make things possible with God. I'd like to turn over to Mark. Mark, the 12th chapter, starting with the 33rd verse. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hearken and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And this we must do to make a step towards not limiting God, is to love Him with all of our heart, trust Him with all of our mind, trust Him with all of our strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And then in 1 Corinthians, thirteenth chapter, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And in the Book of Mormon it tells you that that charity is the pure love of Christ. And that's what we need to have in our hearts. That's what we need to have within our lives. That's the thing, that's the key that gives us the understanding to be able to not limit our Heavenly Father and not limit His power, because we know of that love that He has for us and that love that He has for all men, all mankind. Book of Mormon. Page 112, starting with the 98th verse. Behold, my soul abhors sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God, pray unto him continually, and give thanks unto his holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great his condescensions unto the children of men. And then I'd like to close this morning with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. And it's entitled, We Can't, But God Can. Why things happen as they do, we do not always know. And we cannot always fathom why our spirit sinks so low. We flounder in our dark distress, we are wavering and unstable. But when we're most inadequate, the Lord God's always able. For though we are incapable, God's powerful and great. And there's no darkness of the mind that God can't penetrate. And all that is required of us, whether things go wrong, is to trust in God implicitly with a faith that's deep and strong. And while He may not instantly unravel all our strands of the tangled thoughts that trouble us, He completely understands. And in His time, if we have faith, He will gradually restore the brightness of our spirit that we've been longing for. So remember, there's no cloud too dark for God's light to penetrate if we keep on believing and have faith enough to wait. Thank you very much.